Yeah, we got our picks coming up too, Al, but I got a quick question. What is the type of person that doesn't like hugs? Is that because you seem a huggy sort of guy to me. I'm the type that doesn't like hugs. I don't know how to take that.
I'm okay with hugs. Yeah, I'm okay.
You seem all right.
Yeah, I'm
can
all right.
I give you one the next time I see you? Can I give you one on Sunday? We haven't seen each other in a month. What do you mean?
I'm just good.
Said that you like hugs.
Yeah, but it's not like I haven't talked to you in a while. It's not like that we, don't know what's going on in each other. We see each other. I talk to you more. Me, you, Emily, and Taylor talk more than any other childhood friend or cousin or family member. I don't talk to anybody as much as I talk to you guys.
Well,
so you want a hug from
is.
Me on Sunday?
Sure.
I need to go hug other people who I haven't seen in a while.
I'm going to lean into it. You know, they say you got to get out of your comfort zone every once in a while and do the things that make you feel a little uncomfortable to kind of broaden your horizons in these things.
Eat a hot, spicy chicken sandwich. That was one of them.
I already tried that. That didn't work. I'm going in, and my new thing is every time I see you, I'm going to come across the desk, and I'm going to give you a big squeeze. And that's how we're going to start the show. Instead, hey, Al, good morning. How was your night? It's like, come in, bring it in, buddy.
Yep.
Bring it in. Nice.
I'm just telling you.
I'm going to linger.
You throw that my way, I come back all in.
Perfect.
I'm putting both of my arms around your waist,
and I'm holding on.
I'm holding on until you start backing up. If that takes a couple of minutes, it takes a couple of minutes.
Can you imagine a two-minute hug? That sounds
bad. What are Sliwa and Travis doing in the studio? They hug every show. Saying
hello. Just good morning to each other. I think you just touched on something that makes it a little weird for me, at least. It's when I, more often than not always, but more often than not, the person that I'm hugging is shorter than I am, smaller than I am. So there's this weird dynamic of where people's hands go and where do I put mine, and that you're just going to go straight for my waist is alarming. I don't think I like that. I think I'm going to need you to go one high, one low. We'll both go one high, one low. That's the best way to do it.
So just so you know, you're the one that said that you're going to try to make it awkward. So if you want to play that game, I'm going to play that game as well. I'll go one step more awkward than you. That's why my hands are at your waist.
I like it. All right. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. 2 minutes, no timeouts. Rams lead 24-23. Tom Brady has the ball.
Yep.
That's the worst-case scenario, right? When we're talking about everything that could happen over the weekend with the football games, Tom Brady with the ball needing to get a field goal with a couple of minutes to go, that feels like the worst-case scenario to me because that dude is going to find a way to get it done.
It's not the worst-case scenario. Worst-case scenario is 2 minutes, Tom Brady has the ball, and they're up 10. And
that's worse.
The game's over.
You're right. That is a worse scenario.
But I know what you're talking about, and, it's funny. The game against Arizona, it was more about this is such a colossal failure if they lose this game. Like, it was more about that. It was no way they lose this game against Arizona. Now you're on the road. Now you're playing against the defending Super Bowl champs. Now you're playing against the greatest of all time to ever be quarterback in the NFL in Tom Brady, who has 7 Super Bowls. How quick, within a span of 6 days, everything just changes. And the scenario that you just laid out, that's what he does. Like, there's certain people that have played the sport that when they're in a scenario, when Kobe Bryant used to have the ball and you're down one, Lakers are down one and there's 7 seconds left on the clock, you think Kobe was worried about those moments? You think Michael Jordan didn't want the ball in his hand when the game was on the line? You think, I use this as an example, and I know this isn't, there's certain classes of clutchness. Robert Horry was clutch in those moments. Robert Horry wasn't, hey, you got to worry about him for 4 quarters. Adam Vinatieri was nailing a field goal. It didn't matter what the distance was. In that one moment, he was doing his job. These other greats are, this is what they do, and the Tom Brady scenario that you just laid out is a perfect example, and if it is that scenario this weekend, of course, you're not going to be comfortable, Rams fans won't be comfortable, McVay won't be comfortable, Stafford won't be comfortable, nobody will.
Well, you mentioned Stafford. Here's the deal. The Rams made a huge move in the offseason, right? They sent 2 draft picks in Jared Goff to Detroit so Matthew Stafford could be their quarterback, and I think every Rams fan was pretty excited about that. I think it's on the surface, it's a huge upgrade. It's an expensive upgrade. 2 first-round draft picks is an expensive price to pay for anything, but it was an upgrade. No question about it. Matthew Stafford's better quarterback than Jared Goff. We've said that a million times, but it's painfully true. So what? So what? What the reason that he's here is not to go 12-5 and win the division. Mm-hmm. It's not to beat up on Arizona in a wild card game. It's not to, you know, take care of your business against the Seattle Seahawks. Those are all part of the journey. But what's going to happen on Sunday afternoon is the reason they made that deal. This game coming up on Sunday is the reason that Jared Goff is a Lion and the reason that Matthew Stafford is an L.A. Ram, to win this game, to be at least in heavy part of the reason you won this game. He doesn't have to throw for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. But what he needs to do is put his team in a position to score a lot of points and not turn the ball over and be a threat every single time he drops back. Because that's what Jared Goff wasn't. This is what you went out and got, and this is why he's here for Sunday and whatever comes after that. That's why he's here. It starts right now.
And this is less one of those games, Trev, where, you know, I kind of been promoting and hyping up, hey, the pressure's really not just on Matt Stafford here. They have a good enough team for them to win without him going out and winning the game, without him throwing for 4 touchdowns and 400 yards and blah, blah, blah. But this one's actually a little bit more interesting because this is the game where Matt Stafford, there's going to be times where Stafford, hey, you got to get that first down. Stafford, mm-hmm. you need – this is an important drive. This one's on your shoulders. The defense did its job, or the defense didn't do its job and you're down 10-0 or 7-3 or it's later in the game, it's 14-10. He's going to have moments in this game where it is on his shoulders. You know what's kind of crazy? How many – have you – can you kind of – can you go back and think of a trade that has been brought up as much as the trade for Jared Goff –
you know
and,
why?
And Matthew Stafford?
You're right.
35 times a week.
You're 100% right, but you know why? Because the reason the trade was made, we haven't gotten to it yet. It's finally here. The trade was made – when does the season start? The games start in September. Camp starts in August. And the deal was made right after the end of the season, right? So the season ends in February, and it seemed like the Rams made the trade. So we've had to wait a year almost to get to the point to see whether or not it was a good idea. That's why we keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
It's not just that, oh, he's got a more accurate arm or he's got a bigger arm or he can make plays with his feet off schedule. That's all important. I'm not saying that it's a nothing, but the Rams a year ago were exactly where they are right now, mm-hmm. on the road in the second round of the playoffs with a chance to go to the NFC Championship game, and it's going to come down to whether or not the quarterback plays well. We had to wait a year for it.
Yep.
And that's why we keep talking about it. It's not one of those things that – you know, if it were the kicker, for instance, that all of a sudden you're missing kicks all year long and you knew it wasn't worth it, or you're all making them all year long and you know it's worth it. It's for right now. We just haven't had a chance to do it.
But here's the thing, Trav. Let me just use that. And I'm not – this isn't me pointing at you. It's everybody. So when they beat Tampa in week 3, people will say – And this is one of the main reasons why you brought Matt Stafford here is for this situation. When you win on the road and it's in Seattle, and then you know, the season continues to progress, and then when you lose a game, it's like, well, why'd you even make the trade? Why is this guy even here? And I remember us talking about it in the offseason, that it literally doesn't matter what happens in the regular season, and it doesn't matter almost even in the wild card game that we just had. It's when you're in that critical moment and you have a chance to surpass where you were a year ago, or maybe you got that chance to now get to the Super Bowl and be a legitimate contender to go win it all. What's Stafford going to do in those situations? And that's obviously the situation he'll be in this weekend.
It's so funny you said that about, you know, it's not what you do during the regular season, because if you're the Chargers, apparently it is. Did you see Tom Telesco's quotes?
I only heard you say it to me, yeah. And I didn't actually get the full context.
So there's a piece on ESPN about, you know, he said they have a lot to be proud of. And the quote that just kind of jumped out at me is, I love the identity that we play with. And I stopped and I said, wait, huh? Mm-hmm. You love the – because as far as I can tell, the identity that you played with is the reason you're not playing. The identity that you played with was, screw it, go for it. Okay, cool, but you're home. The Raiders went to the playoffs. The Steelers went to the playoffs. I got news for you. The Chargers were much better than the Raiders and the Steelers. The Chargers had much more of an opportunity to win some playoff games than the Raiders and the Steelers, only they were the ones that went into the tournament because of your identity that you play with. And if I'm Justin Herbert, I'm looking around saying, I got – Josh Allen to deal with. I've got Patrick Mahomes to deal with. I've got Joe Burrow to deal with. I got Lamar Jackson to deal with, all in my half of the draw. And my coach doesn't know when to punt or when to not call time. I don't know if I love that identity. I saw that. I'm like, well, I'm glad you like not being in the playoffs. Congratulations for you. But that is just insane to me.
You know the worst thing you could possibly do as a human being, okay, is double down when you probably know deep down inside you're wrong, but because your ego gets in the way and you keep saying like, no, it would have played out a little bit different if this would have happened. No. You know what? Next time in the exact same scenario, I'm not going to adjust. I'm going to actually do the exact same thing and expect different results. Trav, kind of a good reminder here. Do you know Chargers played Cincy at Cincinnati earlier in the year? Do you remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
They won 41-22.
Yeah.
You're right. Exactly what you just said about, do you know how much more of a dangerous team the Chargers would have been in the playoffs? And I know everything changes, playoff time, blah, blah. Chargers had a good squad. Chargers are not in the postseason because of this mentality that they have, that they're talking about, that they want to dig their feet even deeper in.
Yeah, no, they were better than at least two playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were better than the Raiders. I know that they split their games, and I know that Raider fans probably hate to hear that, but just looking at it from 30,000 feet, the Chargers were more of a threat to beat
more
Cincinnati.
Dangerous. They're more dangerous.
Absolutely.
Put it that
more
way.
More of a threat. Pittsburgh was just one of those teams that, yeah, you needed a seventh team, and they got in. They were okay because they're really well coached. They've got some good players, but they were kind of at the end of the line. Their quarterback's washed and everything else. Chargers have a quarterback that's going to be in the mix. I read that, Al, and it made me think again about the Rams, that thank goodness that everybody's kind of on the same page. That's not good enough. The Rams went to the playoffs last year, the second round of playoffs. They said, guess what? This isn't good enough.
Yeah.
We need to change it. We need to change the way that we're going about this. We need to change about the way that we're doing these things. And I know you, as a loyal Charger hater, probably enjoyed seeing the things go.
And almost a 2.5-week Raider fan. Okay, today's stat hero of the day is the Rams as underdogs. I'm going to throw this stat out here. Emily got the stat for us. Rams 3-1 this season as underdogs, and obviously underdogs by 3 points against the Buccaneers, whatever that's worth. I know some of these stats don't mean anything once you get into the actual game. Stat Hero, the exclusive Daily Fantasy app partner of the Travis and Sliwa Show. Stat Hero is the first ever Daily Fantasy sportsbook that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/710ESPN for a 100% deposit match.
I want to try a quick phone call right here. I want to go to Tom in Santa Barbara. Tom, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up, Tom? Tom.
So the question, I can't believe you didn't come up with this, Travis, especially. What about the 70s Raiders under Madden with Matuszek and all those guys? Hendrick?
That's a good choice. We've also the 86 Mets have been thrown in there. The 1980 Miami Hurricane football teams, they've been thrown in there as well. So there's a lot of good options.
Let's go hang out with Lenny Dykstra for a night. That sounds like fun.
Well, see, here's the
Travis
thing.
You ready for this quick trivia?
Probably not, but go ahead.
All right. Arcadia High School alum, mid-80s, after the football game on Friday night, where do we all go?
In-N-Out on Santa Anita.
You got it. You nailed it.
Yeah.
When you are allowed to leave campus for lunch, where do we walk for lunch? Because it's so rad and the best.
Taco Lita.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. We're on to UCSB.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We're on to UCSB. Home game. Right. Basketball. I was there when we beat UNLV.
So was I.
What's the freshman guy's name that runs? What's that?
I was a freshman that year, 1990. Yeah.
All right. So who's the guy's name that runs around the court with a mask and a cape to get
Gaucho
everybody
Joe.
Rallied up at a basketball game?
Gaucho Joe.
You are a stud, and I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Because you were an athlete. I don't know if you partied much. I had perfect attendance on Wednesday nights. Where do we go on Wednesday nights for cheap drinks?
Oh, okay. The grad, Countdown.
Countdown. And the last one, best burrito at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Freebirds.
You nailed it, bro. 100%.
No, this is easy. What else? Tom, I wish there was some money going on this. I wish there was a chance to cash some prize. But Al, what he was basically asking me is, you're a glutton. Where did you go stuff your face in high school? And then you liked sports and eating in college. Where did you go to do? These are the easiest things in the world. I'm glad
everybody
I got
had
all
their
right,
spots. We had Los
easy.
Ponchos and Rita's Taco Shop in El Cajon. That was for high school. And I did Albert Tacos a little bit later down the road at San Diego State University.
Okay, so was there the equivalent of this? And Emily went to UVA. Slee, obviously you're a San Diego State guy. I'm assuming that every university has this. Taylor, are you a Northern Iowa guy? I know you've told me this before.
Yep,
Northern Iowa. So tell me the Northern Iowa equivalent of this. We can come back and do this. But the place where you would go because the drinks were cheap, and they not only were they cheap, but they were bountiful on top of that, that they would give you the 2-for-1, the 4-for-1, the whatever it is. We can do that after we do our NFL picks, which are coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, so Allen was the regular season champ of picking football games, and he kind of dominated, if we're being honest. He won going away.
Off to such a good start in the postseason.
But because you're a good guy, Al, you decided to kind of hit the reset button and start over with the wild card round. Here are the wild card scores.
Well, I kind of like this, too, because it's all four of us. You know what I mean?
It is all four of us.
We got the whole squad doing this.
I had 7. Emily had 7.
Yep.
You had 1. Oof. And Taylor, well, let's not talk about Taylor because he got 0.
Taylor's going to end up with 10 this weekend. Watch that. That's how this works.
It typically is how it works. All right, let's start here. I'm going to go first. We're going to start with the Rams. They are a 3-point underdog at Tampa Bay. I'm going to do what I've done all season long. I am going to pick the Rams again because go Rams. I can't pick against them. I don't have it in me. That being said, I think this is going to be a very, very close game, and I think that the Rams just getting the 3 might be enough to cover, win, lose, or whatever. I think that may be the difference. So I'm going to take the Rams, and I'm going to put them at 2. Slewa.
All right, I'm going to go the opposite end of this. I'm going Tampa. You know, once my Raiders were out, and it's been at least 17, 18 days now that I've been a passionate Raider fan, I'm coming back to my senses here, and I'm really going to try to be very strategic with this. I'm going to take the Bucs in this one. I agree it's a close game. Hate that it's only 3. You know, you wanted like a 2.5. You wanted something along those lines. You're not getting it. I'm going to take the Bucs. I'm going to make this a 3. As far as points go.
All right, Tampa Bay in the 3 for Slee. M, where do you got?
So I don't know if this is a good or bad start for me and you, Trav, but I also have the Rams at my 2. Okay. I am going to say that they are going to continue the streak of being underdog victors, and that's where I have them.
There you go, Rams at 2. And Taylor, will you get on your board with your Rams pick?
Taylor, don't listen to him, bro. 0. We're coming back this week, you and I, buddy.
What do you got, Taylor?
Like the caller said earlier, don't bet against Brady. Going to go with the Bucks at, I'll go 3.
All right, so Slee and Taylor go the same.
I like
Travis
it.
And Emily go the same.
Taylor and I are either going to catch up
or we're so far behind. No doubt. Little game theory going on. All right, next game, I will go to the AFC for this one. The number one seed Tennessee Titans hosting Cincinnati. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite. Slee.
I've been following the Titans since 2001, and this is their year. This is their year. Okay, I'm going to actually – I agree with Emily that no one's talking about them, and I agree with Travis just because there's nothing to talk about. They're the least sexiest team to talk about. But in the playoffs, you play defense, you run the ball. Henry is back. I'm all in on the Titans in this one. Bengals just got by the Raiders, maybe even got a little lucky with some referee non-calls or calls, whatever the hell you want to call it. Titans with a 4 in this one.
Oh, he's going all the way to the top. Emily, you're next.
Gosh, Alan, you took my spot.
Took the thunder there.
I'm also putting Titans at my 4. I think that the Bengals have peaked a little bit too early. I think that this is their ceiling. Next year they can go further. Vrabel is a fantastic coach. He will have his team ready to go. Derrick Henry's back. He's going to ruin it. Playoffs is Derrick Henry season.
Taylor.
Titans as well, going with them at 2.
All right, so I'll play the game. I'll take the Bengals. I'll put them at the bottom, and I have a chance to pick up 4 points on Slee and Emily and 3 on Taylor. So I got a chance right there. All right, Emily, you are first for the other NFC game. Green Bay, 6-point favorites at home against the Niners.
I think this is probably my easiest pick of the whole week. Packers, 3. They are coming off a bye. It's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to come out with a vengeance. It's in Green Bay. They're going to beat the, you know what, out of the 49ers. I have
stuffing.
Packers with 3.
Yes, they beat the stuffing out of the 49ers. Taylor.
I got Packers, 2, going with them at 4.
No, Taylor's feeling good about the Packers. All right, I'm up next. So the Niners are a really interesting team. The Niners were banged up for a large part of the season. They've got the Rams' number. They got a ton of momentum in that game in Week 18 when they beat the Rams. They go into Dallas. They win a game that I don't think a lot of people thought that they could win. Dallas did them a little bit of favor along the way. Here's the thing. San Francisco could have beat Dallas by 2 touchdowns or so. If they take care of their business, not only they win that game, they win that game big. It's a 6-point game. Typically, playoff games are pretty close. I'm going to take San Francisco at 3 and cross my fingers that that one doesn't blow up in my face. All right, last one for you, Slee.
Okay, so this is a tough one. It's a tough one because of the points. I'm in it. I'm kind of leaning more towards there's a lot of pub around the Niners right now and what they've accomplished. So I think it's kind of being blown a little bit. The stock is a little high, but 6 is a lot of points. I'm going to, Trav, I hate to do this, man, but I'm going to go a little against the grain here. I'm going to go Niners, put this as my 2. I think Packers win the game. I think Niners stay within 6 points.
All right, so the last game. Buffalo at Kansas City. It is the Sunday night game. It's the last divisional round. The last spot to play in the conference championship will be up for grabs. And that one, Taylor, you're going first. Kansas City is a 2-point favorite at home. Who do you got?
KC, easy. Go with them at 1.
All right, KC at 1. I guess I'm up next. I got 1 spot left. I've got the 4. I don't like this game at 4. I do like the fact that it's kind of a very low number at just 2. So I just kind of have to pick the winner, maybe. So I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win that game. The Chiefs have either been in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes' entire career. Why would this be any different? KC at the top. Sliwa.
Upset City. I'll go Bills. It's only a 1. This is the game I like least as far as picking who's going to win the game. I will roll the dice here. I'll go Bills with a 1.
All right. And, Emily, you get to close the show. Last one, Bills on the road, Kansas City. They are getting 2. What are you doing?
I am part of Bills Mafia. I am going all Bills. Josh Allen, this is his moment. He's going to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think it's Bills in the Super Bowl. Bills at my 1.
Emily and I are jumping off tables.
You guys are very similar picks. Emily and I have the lead at 7, and we have very different picks with the exception of the Rams. So one of the 2 of us, Emily, are going to have the lead because Slee's picks are kind of all over. We'll see. He's got
and
a
you bet
way to go.
I'm going to start our Monday meeting by saying how it goes.
You did last time. We didn't even sit in our chair. It was like, when are we going to talk about the picks? When are we doing the picks? I've got the lead in the picks.
We should talk Sunday night.
All right, so tell me, guys, when young Alan Slee was in Tech, when Emily was at UVA, when Taylor was at Northern Iowa, was there a spot? Because here's the spot that we were talking about in Santa Barbara. It's a place called The Graduate that had countdown, which means if you come in at 8 o'clock, you get a 2-for-1. And then at 9 o'clock, it's a 3-for-1. And then at 10 o'clock, it's a 4-for-1. And you would go all the way until midnight, and it was just mayhem. Did you guys – and every Wednesday, everybody was there. Did you guys have that spot, Slee?
So there was a place not far from campus, very, very close to campus, called Woodstock Pizza. And just a solid place. Like,
great
you never
spot.
Went
There's
wrong.
One in Santa Barbara, too, yeah.
Oh, is there really? I didn't know that. Yep. Just a solid place. You go there, get some pizza, get a pitcher of beer, and you're kicking back. It's like cheap as hell. You know what I mean? Like nobody's trying to go make money off. Actually, they're probably making fantastic money off every student. But it's kind of like a go-to place, sports kind of atmosphere to it. So that would be the spot.
Were
we
you
just
a
go
regular,
to.
Or were you just occasionally you'd stick your toe in the water?
Okay, here's where regular is, and this is like you were trying to describe near the campus. You know where everybody was going? Everyone was in PB. Everyone was down at PB Bar and Grill. Everyone was down. I mean, most students at San Diego State University, after your first year at SDSU, A lot of them were working their way to PB, Pacific Beach Bar, or just PB in general. I'm trying to think of a couple of places. Moondoggies, I think, was one of them. I haven't said these names in so long, but there was a – there was – on Garnett Avenue, there was three or four bars that Tuesday was Typhoon Saloon. Wednesday was PB Bar and Grill. It was like that kind of a thing, and that's where all the students went.
Emily.
So at UVA, we had at the Biltmore, it's a thing called Survivor Hour.
Ooh,
so
it sounds classy. Okay.
It's not classy.
All right.
So,
we go to the Ritz in the Four Seasons, and, you know, we put on our prom gowns, and we just kind of go around and
pop champagne on Wednesdays.
Anyway, so you go, they call it Survivor Night. It's every Thursday from 8, Survivor Hour, from 8 to 8, 7 to 8. I would never get to go because I had water polo practice, except for when I got off water polo or I fibbed my way out of it. But it was $2 doubles, $1 single for an hour. And it used to start when people would watch Survivor and like go and drink there. But then it kind of evolved into just mayhem and it goes all night. And it's both a combination of Survivor Hour, but also Survive the Night, because you get three $2 doubles and you're good to go for the entire
That's
night.
Aggressive. I think Emily's in the lead so far. Taylor, what was going on at NIU?
You and I, yeah. Shout out Cedar Falls, Iowa. We had the library on the hill.
Shout out.
Probably the best name I could think of for a bar. Cheap Drinks.
Oh, that's a fantastic name.
Where are you tonight?
Did they have, if I'm correct, because I think there's... I can't think of the one. There's something in downtown kind of somewhere. Did they actually have, you know, books everywhere and
books,
everything else?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's solid.
Karaoke, live music, everything like that.
Why did bar owners feel that college students needed to be incentivized? They're coming anyway. You know what I mean? It's not like, hey, you know what? I was going to sit in here and do my chemistry homework, but now that they got a 2-for-1, I'm going to go hit the library. I don't know. I just feel like if you open the door, you're going to have a line and people are ready to come.
The best was $2. You call it. It's on me, and it's like $8, and you're walking away thinking you're just the biggest baller. But yeah, I just bought four drinks.
All the
no
old
deal.
Gauchos in the crowd will remember this. McBurley's back in the day, a 25-cent, 32-ounce Meisterbrows. What could go wrong? Yeah, exactly. 25-cent, 32-ounce Meisterbrows, and McBurley's is.
You
no
must be
there.
Like 70.
No, not quite. We're getting closer. Travis Lee is brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. All right. The Lakers had Charles Barkley absolutely light them up. And, Al, I've got something that I want to see if you agree with, because I think something could happen as soon as tonight if something goes a certain way. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's pretty crazy how different Monday could be based on a couple of different things, right? I mean, we've talked about the Rams a lot today, and we're kind of – Matthew Stafford, was it worth it or not? Yeah, I'll let you know for sure on Monday, right? That we can really have a definitive take on that one way or the other. I think
kind of his moment.
Out of 100,
his moment.
We're about to find out. One way or the other, it's going to be his moment. The Lakers in Miami on Sunday, obviously, is a interesting game because Miami's pretty good. But Al, tell me if I'm wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
With all the noise,
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook got benched. Frank Vogel's job's in jeopardy. It just seems like, you know, Charles Barkley blowing them up on TNT last night. Everything that's going on around the team. The Orlando Magic have 8 wins. They're bad. If the Lakers lose to the Magic tonight, does Frank Vogel get fired? Because it does feel like it's going to happen. I said it to you a couple of days ago that I do think if this trip goes the way that the odds makers are saying it's going to go, it will happen at some point during this trip. But could it happen as soon as tonight if Frank Vogel and the Lakers lose to an 8-win Magic team?
You know what's kind of weird? I feel like the trend is starting to kind of go the other way a little bit, where there's a lot more people coming to the defense of Vogel. There's a lot more people saying, well, I think I mentioned this, Windhorst, when he came on Monday night, is like, okay, you can go ahead and make the move. Nothing is going to change. I wonder if there's some pause and some hesitation. I thought the game they lost against Denver, where it was you're down by 42, it was 37, you end up losing the game. It's Russ coming out with the comments, this, that. I felt like it was more, I know what you're saying, it's the Magic, it's 8 wins. That means you'd have 2 losses in a row against the Pacers and the Orlando Magic.
And what it means the team is rolled over. It means that the team is just not fighting anymore.
And then you still haven't played Miami, Brooklyn, and Charlotte, and Philadelphia, and the rest of the rest of the road trip. I don't think it happens. I don't. I don't think it happens. I think that more has to do. I guess my feeling would be more on the case that I feel like the trend is starting to churn, where Vogel has a lot of people coming out saying, not Vogel does, but a lot of people are coming out and kind of supporting Vogel. And the heat really is going to the front office right now. That's where the heat is going. And we all know Coach Vogel is going to be the scapegoat of it all. And that's not to say he's perfect or anything along those lines, but it's a tough one. You lose to Orlando today, that's a tough look.
That's why I think it's going to – if they lose, and I don't think they're going to lose, let me say that. But if they do, because I don't know if I learned this from Mad Men or I learned it from watching the news and political consultants, but what do you do if you don't like what's being said? You change the story, right? If you don't like what's being said about you, you give them something else to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Lakers could do by firing the coach. Because I agree with you, Al. The winds are blowing that it's going to happen. And it's starting to blow back the other way, which is, hey, why are you going to fire this guy when you gave him a roster that is deeply flawed? What's he supposed to do with this? I get it. That's a fair comeback to we're going to blow the coach out. So what? If they fire him, the conversation changes like this. There's still a portion of why did they do it, because he wasn't the problem in the first place. But we're talking about whether it's David Fizdale or who would probably be in that situation. You slide him over, and will it change? And what do you do now? And do you change Russell Westbrook's role? And do you have Anthony Davis come back? It changes the story. At least it's not the Lakers are a massively underperforming asset right now. We're talking about something different. That's what you do in a moment of crisis. You get them to talk about something else.
Yeah, you know, part of the sound that we were listening to with Charles Barkley a little bit earlier, Barkley, you know, ripped the Lakers, however he did, right? And I don't think any of it was too surprising. I don't think any of it was too shocking, where he was basically saying, hey, I'm sick of the heat coming on Vogel. I'm sick of the heat coming on Westbrook. But that's, by the way, that's how it works. I don't think anything's going to change with that. I thought what Kenny Smith said afterwards has some juice to it as well. The Kenny Smith, most people are going to agree with Barkley. This is Kenny Smith's response, was basically like, listen, I'm not going to judge the Lakers until their second best player is on the roster, he's on the team, and he's there for a little bit. And that was kind of the case Kenny Smith was making. Is like, he's not surprised that the Lakers are losing. But he also mentioned that should they be 4 or 5 games above 500, they should. Should they have lost 2 games to the Thunder? Of course not. Should they have got blown out by teams like the Kings and the Timberwolves, losing against the Indiana Twice. Pacers, where Caris LeVert drops 22 in the fourth quarter? None of that stuff should be happening. I think that's, you know, obviously there's a case to be made. Can Vogel survive to Anthony Davis? Can he survive to that point? And then obviously from there, I think and by the way, the answer is I don't know. I don't have that answer for you.
Well, I just don't get the AD part of the explanation. I've heard it from Kenny Smith. I've heard it from a million. I don't understand it. Anthony Davis, I get it. He's missed a lot of games, and he's a great player. Fine, whatever. when he was here, the Lakers were no good. They were still a 500 team. When Anthony Davis was playing in the 20-some-odd games that he was part of before he got hurt, the Lakers were 10-10, 11-11, whatever the exact number was. This idea that Anthony Davis comes riding back in and, AD's here. Okay, now we can finally start being – he was here already. It didn't look good. I know, and I need Laker fans to not look at his box scores, not look at his basketball reference page and say, oh, he's averaging this many points, this many rebounds, and this many blocks. I understand his stats are fine. Watch the game. Because his impact on the game is minimal or worse. Some of the stats will tell you whether it's plus minus or PPR, all these things, that actually the Lakers are a little bit better when he's not been there. This idea that he comes in and everything is, okay, now we can start to evaluate it. We were evaluating it with him, and it was the same exact thing. It was not very good.
So I don't think anybody, and I'm a Laker fan that I, as best as I can, try to hold faith on this team. I don't think anybody is saying, hey, when AD comes back, yep, Golden State Warriors, bring them on. Phoenix Suns, bring them on. I think, Trav, the case is you can't stick a fork in the Lakers. Listen, if I ask you right now, is that it? The season is over? I'm not surprised if 5 out of 10 people say this thing's a wrap, but I also wouldn't be surprised if people say, hey, look, you grab AD, get him back, get LeBron back, let these two play together. There's still a chance. I'm not saying that it's a great shot, but I think that's the point people make about Anthony Davis. Not that he's going to come back and he's going to be the savior. I think he's got more to prove when he comes back, because most people are actually doubting when he comes back that he's going to be the player that he was 15 months ago. He's almost made a case for himself like, hey, guys, I'm not going to be a consistently great player. You can depend I'm not going to be consistently great, but that is the little bit of hope that I think is still left, that he has still some of that.
I got to get in another Ask Slee before we go to the weekend. I can't go through 2 days without a little bit of Ask Slee right before the end. This is from Angie. Slee, what's worst, undercooked fries or overcooked fries? You want them a little limp and greasy, Al?
Easy.
Or do you want them a little bit
easy,
over and dried out and crunchy?
Easy. I'll take overcooked than undercooked.
Really?
Yeah.
They're both bad options.
This is the best example I could give you. When most people, when they give their In-N-Out order or they talk about the fries or anything like that, they usually get them well done. They get them crispy, something along those lines. I don't hear anybody say, hey, you know what? That thing off the fryer a little bit early.
Can you leave those in there for about 8 seconds and just pull them out and just
want them to fall apart? I just want them to fall apart. I'd rather go well done.
I think that's the right answer, but here's the thing. Like, We need to understand.
I know you're not having a potato chip. Yep.
Right. I don't want crunch. My French fries shouldn't be crunchy. They can have a crispy exterior, but I'd rather it be a little bit under and at least get that fluffy inside if the outside isn't quite as crispy, because once they're past a point of no return, they're hopeless. I could put enough salt and other things on them to get through a little bit under.
I think we're on different pages of this. Oh, sometimes I'm out hunting for that burnt fry, like in the pile.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the crispy little burnt. I'm okay with that.
This is one of our loyal people, so I need you to help him. This is 805 Raider, and it says, yo, Slee, since we know you're a dog lover, can you pass along some advice to a nervous owner who just dropped off his pup for surgery this morning?
Oh. I think all I'd say is this: your dog's going to be good, and you're a good owner for taking care of your dog and getting him into that surgery room. It's all going to be good. And by the way, as I say this, Rookie's running around with a tree or a half of a tree in his mouth, half of a branch just sitting there. I don't even know what he's doing.
Maybe it's the table leg from the chair that I dropped off in front of your house.
Yes.
Maybe that's what it is. I just decided to leave it there. It all comes full circle, Slee. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The Dump coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I think the four of us, you, me, Emily, and Taylor, might be the four last people in the world that are not doing the Wordle, Lee. We were talking a little bit about, I don't need anybody to send me any more of their Wordle puzzles. I'm kind of over it. I don't need to see it on Twitter. I don't need to see it anywhere else. Keep your little puzzle games to yourself, Al.
So this is like the thing right now? Everybody's doing it everywhere you turn? Yes. Okay. All right. I'm behind the eight ball on this one.
None of us. But Emily, you said you tried it this morning and you were not feeling it.
I tried it this morning and it was super lame. I was like, why would I want to do this? I like mini crossword puzzles because I'm like, okay, I know a bunch of like random trivia, but just guessing a word, that's like so freaking random. No, thank you.
You know what? Okay, can I be super old guy here for a second? I don't know if you guys have ever played this. Al, maybe, but if Emily and Taylor know this game, I'd be surprised. Do you remember the game Mastermind? Where you would put like these little pegs in different colors in different, and you'd hide them from the other person, and they had to guess. That's what Wordle is, as far as I can tell. You just kind of guess at the word. They tell you, oh, this is the right letter in the wrong spot. It's Mastermind on your phone, and Mastermind was invented in 1973. Just doesn't seem that complicated.
It is kind of funny how like just the phases that think like this is the phase right now where everyone is doing this. In a month, I don't know, we'll still be that popular. Like, it's just kind of every time, especially now, I feel like because it's so easy, everything's so accessible. As quick as something comes, something goes, it's gone.
Yeah, I think I'm comfortable not being a part of the Wordle frenzy that's going
on. Just keep it off my feed, please. Just keep it off my feed.
I'm with you on that, too. The new Batman movie is reportedly going to be 3 hours long, Slee. Are you interested in any movie that's going to last 3 hours?
Was it last weekend that I saw Braveheart? Yep. That was 3 hours. And then I saw, what was the other one, Troy? I think that was close to 3 hours, too. Godfather, 3 hours. Bro, here's the reality. If it's a good movie, I'm watching it. Whether it's 2:15 or whether it's 3 hours, if it's a good movie, I will watch it. The worst thing is, if it's not that good in the first hour and you have 2 hours left, that's not a good setup. You know what I mean? Like
it's a terrible setup.
It starts playing in your head, especially Netflix and all these things. Anytime you touch the remote, it's telling you, hey, you got $1.45 left in this one.
But even to your point, the movies that you mentioned, like The Godfather is a good example. It's very, very long and it's very, very good. Okay. But even that movie at about the 1 hour and 55 minute mark, I'm looking at my watch like, how much more of this is there? I like it, but I need it. The point of a movie is I want the whole story arc done in about 1 hour and 45 minutes. Tell me your story in 1 hour and 45. And what was the last Avenger movie where they blew up the universe? I forget what that was. It was roughly 9 hours long. I liked it, but it was about every 6 hours I felt like I needed to go eat a meal so I could get through the next portion of it. It's just way too long.
Sweet spot. 2 hours?
145. I think that's perfect because here, like, it's like any other rule, right? Leave them wanting a little bit more. Walk out of that theater going, you know what? If that were 10 minutes longer, that would have been money as opposed to, that last 10 minutes felt like it took away 10 minutes of my life.
Well, just so you know, we do a 3 hour show Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. Relax on coming after the whole 3 hour thing, okay? Relax on that.
Meatloaf, the musician, passed away earlier today. Were you a Meatloaf guy, Al? The Meatloaf, the music?
I know you were. I wasn't. That really wasn't my thing. Are you big? Like you were? This is. I know you're not a huge music guy, but that was something that hit you.
Meatloaf was. There was a brief moment where I would do anything for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knew. Fine, but and then Bat Out of Hell, right? Or I think that's what it was called. Those are the only two. I don't know. I can't give you any deep cuts on Meatloaf. I don't have a deep cut Meatloaf repertoire. So, talking about Meatloaf, then I can talk about it for the next hour and a half if you'd like.
Can you get to this one thing because I think it's hilarious?
What's
going on in Kansas City or what's the Kansas City barbecue? What's happening there?
Yeah, they took a grocery store took all of their Kansas City barbecue off the shelves in Buffalo because apparently they think that's funny.
Why is something so small?
Do you like that?
And trivial, so great. I don't know why I really, really like that. I don't know why.
Really?
I think I go back. Emily mentioned something like Buffalo fans are just like, it seems like a really fun fan base. It seems like a fan base that obviously hasn't had much success at all. Why do I love that you cannot go get Kansas City barbecue this weekend in Buffalo? I don't know why I love that.
I'm probably taking it a little too personally. I want my barbecue. The football team can come second. I'm going to need, if I'm feeling a little barbecue on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep, go get a different brand.
Yeah, get Memphis. Go a little North Carolina style.
Absolutely.
Barbecue. I don't have to do the case. All right, you talked me into it. We're going to have everything on Monday. We're going to have Rams. We're going to have Lakers. Who knows what else is going on.
Pre-game show 2:30 today, early one.
That's very early. Pre-game show 10 o'clock on Sunday. We'll see you on Monday. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.